Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10, Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees. Text number 51. Sa Esha Bhagavan Rajan Vyatanod Vihatam Yasa Para Rudrasya Devasya Mayen Ananta Mahina Sesha Bhagavan Rajan Vyatanod Vihatang Yasaha Pararudrasya Devasya Mayenananta Mahina Sesha Bhagavan Rajan Vyathanod Vihatang Yasaha Pararudrasya Devasya Mayananta Mayana Saisha Bhagavan Rajan Vyathanod Vihatang Yasaha Pararudrasya Devasya Mayinananda Mayina. Ladies. Saisha Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is Parabrahman, Rajan, my dear king, Vyatanot, expanded, Vihatam, lost, Yasaha, reputation, Para, formerly in history, Rudrasya, of Lord Shiva, the most powerful amongst the demigods. Devasya, the demigod. Mayena, by a demon named Maya. Ananta, unlimited. Mayena, possessing technical knowledge. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear King Yudhisthira, long, long ago in history, a demon known as Maya Dhanava who was very expert in technical knowledge, reduced the reputation of Lord Shiva. In that situation, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saved Lord Shiva. Purport. Lord Shiva is known as Mahadev, the most exalted demigod. Thus, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that although Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shiva could have known them. This historical incident proves that Lord Shiva derives power from Lord Krishna, the Para Brahman. Om jnana tamarandasya gyananjana salakaya chakshrim valitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha mukham kotavachalam pangum langhayate gurim yat kripa taraham vande shri gurum dinataranam vanchakalpa tribhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam bhavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the purport here, Prabhupada mentions that Lord Brahma did not know the glories of the Supreme Lord. Lord Brahma, he's the supreme living entity in this universe. So even he did not understand the glories of Krishna. This morning, after Mangalarti, Savas read how we're trying to help people understand how to go back to Godhead. But to go back to Godhead, people have to understand Krishna. But even Lord Brahma, he's not understanding the glories of Krishna. So to understand Krishna is actually impossible completely. But at least people can understand Krishna enough to understand that he's great. He's big. And we're small. And that we should serve him. Yeah. This is the perfection of the goal of life, is to please Krishna. There's a similar verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam to this one. Yesam Sesha Bhagavanta Yeranta Sarvatmanashapta Proyarinirvalikam. That anyone who is favored by the Lord can overcome or cross over this vast ocean of material existence. But anybody who is attached to this body, they cannot do so. So, therefore, this becoming self-realized is very important for our advancement in spiritual life. To understand our position, to understand the position of Krishna, and to go out of our way to please Krishna. If we can do that somehow or another by the mercy of Krishna, then we are greatly benefited. Prabhupada gives the example of one chief minister in India who was under a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety. Chief minister in India means like governor of a state here in America. Big position. He was under a lot of stress, so quite often he would confide with his driver. He drives him around. So he was quite often pleased with the answers that he would get from his driver. He became so pleased that they actually became best friends. Yeah. He became his best friend, his driver. I mean, a driver, what's a driver? He's nothing. He's a taxi driver. He's nothing. But because he confided in him and he liked his answers, and sometimes they would joke, and he became very close to the chief minister. So similarly, we're very small. We're all very small. Krishna is very great. But we can please Krishna somehow by things that we're doing, that Srila Prabhupada has kindly set up. He set up the society so nicely that if we just follow, then we can advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. I remember I was speaking to one devotee in Miami when I used to live there, and he was lamenting because he didn't feel like he was making much advancement in Krishna consciousness, and he was thinking of leaving. So I said, actually, that you don't feel like you're making much advancement. Yeah, don't worry about it. Just try your best, and Krishna, he'll help. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada has set this society up so that if we just follow his instructions, then inconceivably, we'll make advancement. Yeah. So I was speaking to him some more about this, and finally he decided to hang around. So we also have to have this conviction that we'll advance in Krishna consciousness. We just have to hang around, keep chanting, keep reading, and we'll get purified. And we'll get this favorable glance of Krishna. Yeah. This love for Krishna, it's there. It's there, it's just covered. And what we're doing is we're uncovering this pure love for Krishna. Yeah. And we're practicing this process, so it's nice. And we're getting some result, otherwise we wouldn't be continuing. So I was just listening to one lecture, and the devotee said that, you know, we're doing the process, and Krishna, he's going to help us. He's going to purify us. And he does the fine-tuning of our devotional activities. Yeah. Vedyam pavitram omkaram. He is that person who purifies. So he does the fine-tuning. You know, we're refraining from so much gross activity, but still there's some subtle contamination that we're all working on. So Krishna, he deals with that. You know, of course, we also have to keep endeavoring even in the subtle stuff. But Krishna, he helps us in this direction. And these instructions, they help us also. These instructions that we're getting in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita. These are instruction guides. They're instruction manuals on how to get purified, how to advance in Krishna consciousness. And this knowledge is so valuable. Prabhupada said that we should be helping people on how to go back to Godhead. So people have no idea. They haven't got a clue now how to go back to Godhead. So many people don't even know there is a kingdom of God. Or that we're spirits. So there's so much ignorance. Just like for the past couple of days, a few of us have been going to the L.A. Coliseum there. And it's a comic convention. In other words, thousands of people go there and they're all dressed up in very unusual costumes. Very weird. But actually, everybody has a costume. These bodies are also costumes. This is not who we are. So they have costumes covering costumes. You know, so we're trying to help them understand that even the material body, it's a costume. It's not the reality. I was listening to Prabhupada a few days ago, and he said, actually, these bodies are uniforms for prisoners. Anybody that has a material body is a prisoner in the material world. These are our, it's like now in America, the prisoners, they have these orange suits, you know, the prison uniforms. But anybody in the material world has a uniform, a prison uniform. So we're all doing time due to our sinful desires. But we can get out. We can get out of this prison. And we all had certain karma due to our past activities. And now, fortunately, we're taken to this process. And this karma that we previously had, it's all been completely adjusted by taking to Krishna consciousness. As soon as we chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Our karma is adjusted. And when we engage in pure devotional service, then it's completely finished. So, by going out and giving people this knowledge, then they're also becoming free of so many reactions due to their sinful activities. And they're able to understand something of Krishna. There's so much knowledge that we've received about Krishna now by practicing Krishna consciousness. So nice. So much wonderful information about Krishna. Natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate natatsamas chabya yukasya dushyate. That Krishna, he is so great that he doesn't have to do anything. But at the same time, he's doing everything. Yeah. Amazing. So this is Krishna. He doesn't have to do anything. We have to do so many things. But Krishna doesn't have to do anything, although he does things. Just to be a good example, he does things. So, natasya karyam karnam cha vidyate, that there's no one equal to Krishna. Some people, they claim to be Krishna, equal to Krishna. And on this planet, there was one demon who claimed to be Krishna, challenged Krishna. Anybody remember his name? Pondraka, yes. Claimed to be Krishna. So there's many people on this planet also that claim to be Krishna. But no, there's no one equal to Krishna. And there's no one greater than Krishna. And simply by his shakti, simply by his desire, everything is taking place. Everything is being arranged very nicely throughout the many universes. So this is Krishna. And here in the purport also it's mentioned that Krishna is known as Parabrahman. Parabrahman means the supreme Brahman. We're also Brahman. We're spirit. But Krishna, he's Parabrahman. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochiti Nakankshati. That one who engages in devotional service is able to understand this Parabrahman. One who is transcendentally situated can understand the Parabrahman, the supreme Brahman. And we can understand ourselves also. So we have to become transcendentally situated. It's interesting that Arjuna, he asks Krishna that what is the action of someone who's transcendentally situated? How does he walk? How does he talk? How does he sit? It's interesting that Arjuna asks these three questions. How does he walk? I mean, generally it's like, walking is like an external thing. It's not such an important thing, how your person walks, or how he sits, and it's not so important. But it's interesting that Arjuna asked that. And how does he talk? So Prabhupada says in the purport there that the most important thing or the most important quality of a devotee is how he talks. So a devotee only talks of Krishna, only wants to speak the teachings of Krishna and explain the teachings of Krishna, discuss the glories of Krishna. So this is the definition of someone who is transcendentally situated, that he talks of Krishna. This is called Krishna Gata. Yeah. Krishna Gata. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness, that we talk only of Krishna, that we imbibe the teachings of Krishna and speak the glories of Krishna. And then the next verse, Krishna, he explains, Prajahati yada kamang sarvam partham arogatam atmanyiva manatis stitisthatam state jagashati, something like that. One who gives up all varieties of sense gratification which arise due to mental concoction, and when his mind thus satisfied finds satisfaction in the self, such a person is transcendentally situated. Interesting verse here. So all these desires, all these material desires that people have, they're trying to fulfill so many desires. It's all just a mental concoction. It's just a mental concoction. Interesting. There was one devotee that heard from Prabhupada. Prabhupada was giving class, and Prabhupada said, actually, there is no enjoyment in the material world. There is no happiness in the material world. So this devotee thought, oh, good. Now I don't have to waste time anymore trying to be happy in this material world. Because there is no happiness here. It's just an illusion. It's Maya. It's Maya Sukaya. So the real happiness is in satisfying the senses of Krishna. Now someone may think, well, that's kind of unusual. For me to be happy, I have to satisfy somebody else. Yeah. But yeah, this is the reality. Just like people that are philanthropic, they like to help people. It's very common that they feel very good. Even in a material platform, when they help others, it makes them feel good. Yeah. So what to speak if we please God? If we try to please God, you know, then we feel happiness by giving pleasure to Krishna. Because Krishna, he's the supreme controller. So he's also in control of our happiness and distress. So if we please Krishna, then he can also make all arrangements for us to feel satisfied, to be happy. So people don't know how to be happy. Therefore, people are in ignorance. If people read Srila Prabhupada's books, they could understand how to be happy. A couple of days ago, I was reading in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Prabhupada mentions that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they appear to drive away five kinds of ignorance. And the first one is that people think that sense gratification is the standard of enjoyment. This is the standard of enjoyment, sense gratification. This is the standard for enjoyment for the animals, you know, because all they know is their senses. But for the human being, we have this bigger brain to help us understand beyond these material senses, you know, that there's a supreme person, that we are all the parts and parcels of that supreme person, that we're supposed to serve that supreme person. And this is the real enjoyment. This is the pleasure of the soul. Nothing gives pleasure to the soul like engaging in pure devotional service to Krishna. Yeah, this is the highest enjoyment, the service to Krishna. So that was the first one. So then, so why are they so much into thinking that the only enjoyment is in sense gratification? Because they think that they're the material body. This is another big main ignorance in the material world. People think that they are the body. Prabhupada was speaking to one reporter, and Prabhupada was explaining how we're not the material body. I'm not this body. You're not that body. And then she said, well, whose body am I? Just couldn't conceive of not being a material body. So, we're not the body at all. We're the soul within. I was preaching to one student here in the restaurant many years ago, and I was explaining to him how we're not the body, but the soul within. And he said, aren't we just a little bit the material body? Sorry, no. We're not the body at all. It's just a covering. So this is the reality, that we're the soul within. And the third one that they came to relieve us of was lamenting. People in the mode of ignorance are always lamenting over something. Yeah. Bills and jobs. So many people out of work now, and people that do have jobs are also lamenting because they would like to have a better job. People are lamenting so much. Just like there was a statistic given to about 1,000 people. They were trying to see the percentage of happiness, of distress or misery, and boredom. And they found in this test of 1,000 people, 90% of the time, people are bored. 5% of the time, people are happy, so-called happy. And 5% of the time, people are miserable. So this is the average. So 90% of the time, people are bored. I think that's pretty much their jobs, right? People work so much and they don't like their jobs, so they're boring. Yeah. They're bored. Very rarely do you find someone that likes their job. So, yeah, they're lamenting. You know, they have to work so hard. Yeah. And then there's disease. People lament disease. So much disease. Yeah. How lamentable. You know? Like rarely someday we have to go to the hospital. It's so depressing, you know, hospitals. People are lamenting so much. Yeah. And then, of course, death. Loved ones die, they lament. Yeah. So much lamenting. Brahma-bhuta prasanatma nasochati nakangsati. They're hankering. They're hankering for what they don't have. And they're lamenting for what they lose. So this is another one that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came to. Of course, Prabhupada said that there's also pure lamenting. If we lament that I'm not advancing nicely in Krishna consciousness, this is purifying. So lamentation can also mean purification. Yeah. We lament that I'm so fallen, I'm not pleasing the devotees, I'm not pleasing Krishna. So this is purifying, actually. This is good lamentation. Yeah. And we should also feel good that we've taken to this process. Srila Prabhupada said that we should lament that we were so fallen, so degraded, but we should feel joyful that now we've taken up this process. Now don't look back again. Don't think there's something that we're missing out on. Oh, I could have enjoyed this way. I could have enjoyed that way. Yeah. Just like it's happened in our movement sometimes that devotees, they get some inheritance, like a lot of money. And then they leave. They're thinking, oh, now I can enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy before because I didn't have any money. Now I have money. Now I could enjoy. So they leave and give up Krishna consciousness. Yeah. Many of our devotees have also gotten inheritances and given their money to Krishna because they know that it doesn't matter how much money you have. it doesn't bring happiness. And so the fourth one is being anxious due to material identification. A lot of anxiety, anxious due to thinking that they're the body, due to thinking they have some position. There's an anxiety, they want to keep their position. Anxiety, so much anxiety in the material world due to misidentification, misidentity. They don't know who they are. So we're trying to help them understand their true identity, that they are Nitya Krishna Das, that they are the eternal servant of Krishna, Britya. Britya means a servant of Krishna. And if they don't want to serve Krishna, they don't want to serve God, then they have to serve dog. Just like in America here, and throughout the world, millions and millions of people every day are picking up dog stool. Daily. Every day. Millions of them. Every day. That's their daily ritual. They don't want to serve God, then that's really humble service. Huh? I mean, you can't get more humble than that. You know? Really humble service. You know, picking up dog stool. You know, terrible. So better to serve God. You know? You know, this gives pleasure to the soul. Picking up dog stool does not give pleasure to the soul. Doesn't give any pleasure anywhere. It's foolish. So the last one is thinking there is anything beyond the absolute truth. Yeah. Krishna is everything. He's very mysterious. He's here. He's everywhere. But it's difficult. It's described that Krishna, he's known as the most subtle being. He's everywhere. But we can't see him. But then he also has his own abode. Yeah. So Krishna is very mysterious. So we're very fortunate. We've got this knowledge. You know, there's so many religions. They have knowledge of God also, but very limited. Like Prabhupada gave the example of the abridged and the unabridged dictionary. Yeah. So this is the unabridged. Yeah. So much information we have of God by which people can benefit. These are like the encyclopedias of understanding God. Yeah. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita. So much sublime information of Krishna that we have and that we should want to give to others. Because people, they're all enchanted. Maya mugdha jivara nahi svata krishna gyan jivara kipoya kola krishna veda paran. That the living entities, they cannot revive their Krishna consciousness because of their being enchanted by the external energy. Therefore Krishna comes and he gives us the Vedas so that we can become free of this enchantment of Maya, and we can be enchanted by Krishna. Better to be enchanted by Krishna than beautiful cowherd boy. I was in the airport distributing books one time, and I presented Bhagavad Gita to one person, and he said, "Oh yeah, yeah, you guys are the guys that believe that God is a little cowherd, a little blue cowherd boy." I said, "Yeah, yeah, that's us, yeah." But he's more than just a little blue cowherd boy. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cause of all causes. Difficult for people to understand. But if we get the mercy of Krishna, if we get the mercy of the pure devotee of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand Krishna to some degree. No one can fully understand Krishna. Even Krishna doesn't understand himself. because he's always expanding. So on that note, is there any question or comment? Yes.
Vijaya Prabhu, thank you. Whoa, it's kind of loud. Thank you for the nice class, Vijaya Prabhu. You were talking about how we should, how speech is the most important quality of anyone or a devotee. But when we're preaching, I don't know, basically talking about myself, I'm not so expert at talking about Krishna. So how much should I absorb in talking about what they want to talk about? Just because they're favorable and I want to be like their friend.
Well, sometimes when we're preaching also means knowing what not to say. You know? Because it's stated in the Bhagavad Gita that there's five austerities of speech. Anudvegam, krungvakyam, satyam, priyam, hitam, siyajam. Anudvegam krungvakyam satyam priyam hitanche svabhya vyasanam chagas vanmayam tapa uchate. One of the austerities of speech is to speak that which does not agitate others. Now sometimes if we preach directly, you know, some of our aspects of our philosophy, then it'll turn people off. It's like Prabhupada said, when we're preaching, don't come off right off with the four regular principles, right? Yeah, if you want to practice this Krishna consciousness, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating. You know, coming to life heavy like that, then people, you get scared, you know, scare people away. So preaching means also knowing what not to say. Just like at the initiation, at the first initiation that Prabhupada gave in 1966, the devotees after the initiation, or actually maybe it was just before, they asked Prabhupada, so are there any rules that we have to follow? You know, after initiation, Prabhupada was so expert that he attracted them with all the positive aspects of Krishna consciousness. He gave them so much prasadam, and they had these ISKCON bullets. Anytime anybody wanted, they can take an ISKCON bullet. You know, Globjaman. Anytime anybody wanted, Prabhupada was so expert because prasadam was the secret weapon. You know. So devotees were getting these globjamans all the time. You can imagine. Imagine Prabhupada's globjamans. I mean, my God. They must have been really good. You know. So preaching means knowing what to say and what not to say. To speak that which is beneficial, that which is not agitating to others. You know, to speak the Vedic literatures, of course. So It's an art to preach. So just being friendly. Prabhupada would sometimes preach to guests. He was preaching to one guest. Just this reminds me of one instance. Prabhupada was speaking to Giriraj Swami's parents. And he didn't preach to them a philosophy at all. He was just, you know, just befriending them. Small talk. You know, what do you think of the difference between America and India? And just, you know, different... He was joking with them. Didn't speak the philosophy at all. And they were very impressed. They were very pleased to have that conversation with Prabhupada. And they walked away just very happy. And they went to India to bring Giriraj back to America. They were on a mission. And of course, Giriraj Swami, he stayed. Actually, it's an interesting story. We have a little time. They went there because he was the only son. He went to India. Prabhupada wanted devotees to go there, and he was helping so many projects. And as soon as he got to the airport, he was already trying to convince his son to go back to America. And he said, no, I want to stay here with Prabhupada. So then he thought, all right. He thought maybe if he speaks to Prabhupada, maybe he'll get some sympathy. And so he asked Giriraj, please make some meeting. I want to meet your spiritual master. They said, all right, so we've made arrangements. And so there was Prabhupada there, and there was Giriraj and his parents, and Prabhupada's servant was there. And so Giriraj Maharaj, his father, he said to Prabhupada, you know, this disciple of yours, he's my only son. And my wife and myself are very attached to him. We love him dearly. And for him to be all the way over here in India is very difficult for us. You may be able to imagine. Please, can you send him back to America? So Prabhupada looked at Giriraj Swami. Actually, he was Brahmacharya at that time. And he asked him, do you want to go back to America? And Giriraj said, no, I want to stay here with you, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada looked at the parents and he said, you know, what do you want? You don't want me to force him, do you? No, no, no. So they pretty much accepted. So then Prabhupada suggested to Giriraj, why don't you take your parents to the foothills of the Himalayas, Haridwar, and spend a few days with them. So Giriraj said, yes, we can do that. So the parents were very happy. They went and spent about 5 days, got a hotel there. And then they came back to Bombay. And Giriraj Swami wanted them to get a little more association with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada spent this half hour I mentioned to you. Prabhupada was just talking small talk with him. No philosophy. But they walked away very impressed. Very happy that they had that extra time with Prabhupada. And after they left, the servant said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you amaze me. Everybody loves you so much. And Prabhupada replied, that's because I love everyone so much. So this is Prabhupada. That's why this movement spread all over the world in like, you know, 11 years. Yeah. Because Prabhupada had so much love for everyone. And that's why we're here now. So we should also pray to Krishna just to get a spark, just to get a little bit of the love that Prabhupada has, so that we can also help the living entities in this world who are suffering due to forgetfulness of Krishna, due to not understanding who Krishna is. Yeah. The love is there. There's an immense amount of love for Krishna in the hearts of all of us. We just got to take this process very seriously. Pray for this love to come out, this love for Krishna, love for all living entities. Okay? Any other question or comment? Microphone?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you so much for an inspiring lecture. In daily life, we come across so many people who think that these four activities you just mentioned, four regulative principles, without those four activities, some people think life is meaningless, waste. So, especially when you say we are following these four regulative principles, it typically scares them off. How do you convince those people? Where do you start in terms of preaching? So at least as a beginner, okay, this is what you need to follow before you follow these four regulative principles, before we scare them off.
Let them hear a lot of other things first. We have such a nice philosophy. There's so many positive aspects of our philosophy. So preach these positive aspects of the philosophy. Yeah. That the soul is eternal, has full knowledge, full bliss. There's so many positive aspects. You could explain about Krishna so much. Therefore, we should read Prabhupada's books. And we'll learn so many positive aspects of our philosophy. Just like when I distribute books, I tell people that these books, they teach us the art of inner happiness, higher consciousness, inner peace, freedom of stress. So there's just a few things. There's so many nice things in Prabhupada's books that are very attractive and very positive. Yeah. So these four regular principles, they should let them learn that on their own, pretty much. Because we give people books and they're talking to devotees, but we should explain these. I remember going to a Sunday feast once in Hawaii, and the devotee, senior devotee, Prabhupada disciple, was given the Sunday feast lecture. And the first thing he brought up at the Sunday feast lecture to the new people was the four regular principles. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So I just kind of subtly, just slowly stepped out of the classroom. It's like, it was just it's too much. Huh? So no, it's not, that's not necessary. Yeah. Therefore, we have to read Prabhupada's books. And we'll learn the positive aspects, positive things to preach to people. Anything else? Maybe one more? Okay, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.